listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. Ilan Berman, the vice president of the American Foreign Policy Council and a stupendous contributor to the public policy debate about national security and foreign policy, joins us at this moment. He is the author, among many other books, of Tehran Rising, Iran's Challenge to the United States. While it was written back in 2005, it could hardly be more topical at the moment. Ilan Berman, welcome back. It's good to have you with us as always.
Oh, great to be back.
Well, I'd like to get your take. We were talking earlier with Fred Flights about his on the president's address at the American University yesterday concerning this deal. What are your thoughts, Ilan?
Well, off the cuff, I would say that the president's address is, I think, very much a sign of the times, because the White House publicity push for in favor of the deal is frankly not working. And the fact, if you sort of look at the most recent polling out of Quinnipiac University, two-thirds of Americans oppose the deal. You're seeing a whole bunch of defections, I think in a very heartening way, defections from the Democratic Party line in favor of the deal, including Steve Israel and Nita Lowey and Ted Deutch. And so what you're seeing is a cascade of events that, frankly, rub against the grain of what the administration is trying to do. And the speech was an attempt by the president to up the ante and really sort of, you know, regain the momentum. But on a whole bunch of fronts, I think, if you look at the specifics of the speech, it was really unseemly and it fell flat.
Unseemly, indeed. I've suggested that it kind of gives the term bully pulpit a whole new meaning, because one of the things that it seemed really rife with was bullying of Republicans, bullying of the Israelis, and certainly, most especially, bullying of Democrats on whose votes ultimately the president is depending to get this this deal approved. Ilan Berman is our guest. He is the vice president of the American Foreign Policy Council and the author of numerous very important books addressing topics very directly relevant to the issue of Iran, including as the editor of Taking on Tehran, Strategies for Confronting the Islamic Republic. Taking on Iran doesn't seem to be what the president's been doing lately. In fact, his speech at American University yesterday, Ilan, if anything, seemed to be taking on Israel. You have studied this matter very closely. Are the Israelis missing something about this agreement? Is their concern and their opposition misplaced, in your expert judgment?
No, I don't think so, for a very simple reason. If you look through the specifics of the president's speech yesterday, he essentially sets up two straw men. The first straw man is that the choice that the American people and the world face is a choice between this particular deal or a conflict with Iran. He says in no uncertain terms that if Iran is not constrained by this agreement, then, you know, you really have no eyes on the Iranian nuclear program, which is not true, and that we won't be able to do anything when Iran quickly enriches uranium over the course of a couple of months and sort of has a breakout capability. But the reality is that if the deal is turned down, we're in no worse of a position than we are currently. When sanctions are still on, there's lots of things that we can do, and there's lots of constraints economically on the Iranian nuclear program that will prevent them from moving forward. The second straw man that he sets up is that if you are against this deal, you are conflated with being in favor of the rush to war with Iraq several years ago, you are running against the grain of the international community. But if you drill down and you look at the Arabic press and you look at what the Saudis are saying, what the Qataris are saying, what you'll find is that it's not a slam dunk. It's not 99% of the world that supports this deal. In fact, there's a tremendous amount of reservations, and there are more people than not that agree with the Israelis that this deal has serious demerits and that the international security environment after the deal is going to look a whole lot worse than it does now.
Well, that couldn't be more right. Ilan, one other thing is that the president, in this speech, where he is trying to sell the deal, did nonetheless feel constrained to acknowledge one of the central criticisms of it, which is that at least some of the money, the huge amounts of money, the estimates run from, I think, the low at $59 billion up to something like $600 or $700 billion that the Iranians will garner through either sanctions relief or investment or oil and gas sales or the like. But Ilhan Berman, you have been really one of the country's preeminent experts on the kind of activities that Iran has been engaged in this country over the years. Notably, this was the subject of one of your most important books, I think. Notably, Iran's strategic penetration of Latin America. What is it likely to translate into if the Iranians have this kind of cash in terms of, say, support for one of the worst of the regimes in this hemisphere, namely that of Venezuela?
Well, I think that's the critical point here. I mean, the watchword of international diplomacy should always be that we should do no harm. We should not create a more destabilizing situation as a result of diplomacy than we have before. And this deal does precisely that. Just by virtue of scale, I think it's useful to point out that even before you talk about investment, even before you talk about added oil revenue, the sanctions relief that Iran is going to get as a result of this deal is tantamount to a quarter of their annual GDP. Iran's annual GDP last year was $415 billion. This is a deal that either meets or exceeds that. And by the way, just by way of historical comparison, this money is roughly equivalent to the entire Marshall Plan that the Truman administration mustered for 17 countries in Europe over the course of 4 years. So that scope is so enormous, it's very hard to sort of to contextualize, but that's what we're talking about. This is a Marshall Plan for the Islamic Republic. It's also a Marshall Plan for their global ambitions. And that includes support for Venezuela in Latin America, support for Bolivia in Latin America, two very staunchly anti-American rogues. It also includes support for regimes like North Korea in Asia, where Iran has built a very formidable international partnership built around nuclear and ballistic missile technology. All of these partnerships are going to take a major stride forward. That's what we should expect.
One of the things, and I commend you for your terrific piece on this Marshall Plan analogy in USA Today this week, Ilhan, it's really important for people to have a sense of the scale of this because it enables more malevolent behavior planet-wide. I'm focusing in on Venezuela because I know you've studied closely what a menace to America that nation has been for a long time under its previous leader, Hugo Chavez, and now under Nicolas Maduro. It keeps running out of people to prop it up. It is in need of someone, some nation at the moment, this regime. And the Iranians seem to be well positioned to do that. Again, if that were to transpire very quickly, what do you expect would happen both with respect to Venezuela's ambitions and capabilities, but also those of other sort of regimes that it is propping up as well?
No, I think that's a critical point, because if you look back at Iran's penetration of Latin America, the way Iran has insinuated itself into the region, Venezuela was the gateway that enabled them to build a region-wide strategy. Venezuela is now running out of food, it's running out of cash, it's running out of key staple commodities. It does need a patron. And now the shoe is on the other foot. Whereas before, 10 years ago, Venezuela could serve as the gateway for Iran, now Iran could serve as the lifeline for Venezuela.
It could indeed, and I fear that that's exactly what they have in mind. Ilhan Berman, on all of these topics, you have been a very important and clarion voice. I hope you'll keep it up at the American Foreign Policy Council in your columns at Forbes and USA Today and elsewhere, and come back to us again, if you would, very soon. Next up, we'll be hearing from Admiral Ace Lyons about this deal from his perspective and much more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.